Well, good morning. Welcome to the Be the Edge Challenge call. It's good to see you guys. And so in developing the biblical worldview for companies, as we created the five hallmarks and the disciplines of those companies, a few of you on this call have been part of that process. We realized that it's important to understand they're representative of the understood six core beliefs of a Christian biblical worldview. They aren't the biblical worldview. They're the workings out as a company of the biblical worldview. So over the last 4 weeks, we have looked at the first four core beliefs of a biblical worldview. And today we're going to look at the fifth. The first was the inerrancy of scripture. And we feel like everything's built on that, that you gotta have that or none of the rest of them matter. But as we go through the other five, we realize, well, you got to have all five of them. The second one is the sinless nature of Jesus. Inerrancy of scripture doesn't matter. And it's probably not a thing if Jesus wasn't the sinless sacrifice that made the way for us to get to heaven. So they all build on each other. The third was the literal existence of Satan. The one Mark did last week was the doctrine of the all-knowing and all-powerful God. And then today we'll take a quick glimpse at the fifth core belief. And this is salvation by grace alone. And again, this is fundamental and it's required of a biblical worldview. It's required to be a follower of Jesus, actually. The Apostle Paul declared it this way: for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Whenever I share the gospel or I do an evangelism message, which is, by the way, next week's final core belief, I like to illustrate it with a riddle that I know I've used before on one of these challenge calls, probably a couple of times. The riddle is, what's green and got wheels? And you don't need to answer, you know, in a crowd. It'd be kind of fun to see what came out of that. But when you think about it, what's green and got wheels? Well, the answer is grass. I'm just kidding about the wheels. Too often, by the way, I do like that one. Too often we evangelize that way. We seem at times frightened that someone may come to faith in Christ and yet not do the things that we think they should, things that we sort of add to the basics of the gospel. We may worry that they may believe different than we do in some things, maybe even be in the wrong political party. And so exhibit signs that they may have missed the whole truth and not truly be saved because of a behavior or a difference. I love the verse. And again, it's talking about weaker and stronger in faith in Hebrews, where it ends a section on some hold one day above another, or some treat all like, some eat meat sacks, some don't. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. And there is an interesting truth in there that follows that says, basically, if you believe that's truth, as you understand God's scriptures, then boy, if you act differently, that's sin. So we don't want to be worried or that they maybe have a different opinion on some things. Let's let the Holy Spirit clean up some of that and grow people up in the faith as well, right? But God made it simple. He made the grace part. He made the salvation so simple that even a child can understand it. That's why Jesus says, suffer not the children to come unto me. We've all seen young children come to know Christ. Matter of fact, the majority of adult believers came to Christ as children, reaffirmed it as teenagers, and then were discipled and went on to live it, the ones that are doing it right, right? I used to tell teenagers all the time that if there was any other way to get to heaven than God and Jesus alone, then God's a fool. Because why would God take his one and only son, send him to die a miserable, wretched death on a cross if all he had to do was say, read this book, pray this prayer, do this thing, go to this place, give money to these folks, help little old ladies across the street, whatever it is. Why would he have his son die that death on the cross if we needed other things or if there was anything else that could do it? It's the Oprah gospel that says, there's all kinds of ways to get there. Just pick the one you like. There's not. The only way to get there, and we'll talk about this more next week, is through Jesus and his sacrifice alone. But the only thing that gets us there is Jesus and his sacrifice alone. Now, most of you are probably, if not all of you, are probably sitting there going, well, I know that. Saved by grace alone. Yep, I get it. But do we live that way? Or do we live as though there's other expectations to salvation? And more importantly, do we put that on other people at times? Do we, by the way we teach and preach, or even the things we say, do we communicate? It's more than just that. You also got to go to church, be these things. And those are all good things. But anyway, the only way to get there is through Jesus. The only way to get there is through his grace that saves us. There are no acts. There are no behaviors. There's no, you know, there's a whole thing about baptism that some denominations, Mark probably is very familiar with it, that wrestle through that as well. There's the thief on the cross, though. If you want to see a picture of it, I know dispensational. There's a thief on the cross who turned to Jesus, and that day he said, "You'll be with me in paradise." So wasn't much else that guy was going to do. This is literally good news, though. This isn't bad news. This isn't condemning news. It is good news to know there is nothing you got to do other than receive the free gift that God offers us. On the best day, we could never be good enough to get to heaven. We remember that. So let's celebrate that truth today and go be the edge.